Well, it's been a huge week in federal politics. Just today alone, if you think about it, there's this education minister's meeting, attorney generals are meeting over coercive control laws, and then at the same time, energy ministers meeting on the crisis that we're seeing in the gas market that has been playing out ever since, really for some time, but certainly landed in the lap of the Albanese government. At the same time, we have this scenario playing out in our own region in relation to China and the Taiwan Strait. There's the Pacific Islands angle to that story too, and the way that the Pacific Islands are being, lured by China is the allegation. All of this playing out. So who best to speak to? David Spears, the host of Insiders, and Samantha Maiden, the national political editor for news.com.au. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
David, will these new approaches that we were just talking to the education minister about actually be resolved, do you think? Do you think that we're seeing now the federal government sort of step up on these issues?
Well, look, I don't know. Jason Clare talks about giving his old teacher a hug. Maybe a hug for every teacher from the minister might go some way to helping. They do need to do something. He's laid out this week ahead of today's meeting what the problem is. You've got a shortage nationally of more than 4,000 secondary school teachers. You've got the attrition problem, particularly coming out of the pandemic, of so many teachers moving on, leaving the profession. You've got more kids enrolling, fewer student teachers taking up a university course in teaching, and this is only going to get worse as a problem. Now, a lot of the problem, as you touched on in the interview, really rests with the states when it comes to pay, when it comes to the workload and how you can change that, whether it comes to retention bonuses, all of these things. What can the federal government do? Well, they could put more money on the table for state education, but they could also do something about the university degrees. And I did find it interesting that Jason Clare, when you pressed him on that, said, well, there's not much evidence that cheaper degrees are encouraging more people to take up teaching. So it is limited, I think, what the federal government at least is putting on the table at the moment.
Sam, you've been in previous years really writing about education for a long time. This is like a massive crisis right now. How front and centre is it for the federal government to try and resolve it?
Well, education and school education is obviously always a core issue for governments and particularly Labor governments. But I will say that I think that the issue with teachers is that they need to be paid more. There's no doubt about that. And of course, they need to be dealt with respectfully and respected for the work that they do. But I'm troubled by this idea that, any sort of priority should be some sort of kumbaya campaign to tell teachers we love them. Of course, we like teachers, but, we've got a really serious problem in the education system right now. Australia is falling behind internationally. We're throwing more money than ever before at it. It's not fixing the problem. We've got a generation of students that have missed years of school in some cases. And now we have a system where, because perhaps of the failure of state governments to pay teachers enough, we have this proliferation of pupil-free days, which I'm sure that many of your listeners would be familiar with. Now, if that helps teachers prepare classwork and all the rest of it, okay. But we've got a generation of kids that have missed out on school that are having, educational impacts in some cases because of that. There's mixed evidence. In some cases, they suggest that there hasn't been yet a serious decline in results because they're not going to school. Well, if that's the case, if they're not really having much of an impact, I think that's a bit of a concern as well. There's lots of evidence that literacy and numeracy is not as good as it could be and should be in Australia. And I think that is the main issue, and helping these students that have missed out, and also, to some extent, helping parents who can't always take time off school work for pupil-free days.
Let's talk about the other huge issue this week. And David, China's most senior diplomat in Canberra fronted the press this week. He issued a clear warning to Australia and other countries. Beijing is willing to use all necessary means to pursue its goal of reunification with Taiwan. And now we're seeing a more bipartisan approach all of a sudden from Peter Dutton on this and some unity from our government. How have they responded?
Look, the government has responded, I think, fairly carefully to the events in Taiwan and that speech from China's ambassador here in Canberra at the National Press Club the other day. But they've made it clear they're concerned by what he had to say, and you can understand why. Yes, he's a very polite diplomat, but there was no mistaking what was a very blunt message. China is willing to do whatever's necessary to take Taiwan, and you can use your imagination as to what that might mean. We don't need much imagination after what we've seen over the past week. The ballistic missiles, the fighter jets, the warplanes encircling Taiwan give us a pretty good idea of what China has in mind if it can't peacefully reunite Taiwan. The point about bipartisanship here I think is interesting. Pre-election, people might remember the sort of language from Scott Morrison, Peter Dutton and others about Manchurian candidates, about Labor being soft on China, that this, you know, Anthony Albanese was Xi Jinping's preferred pick. This week, I think it's notable that Peter Dutton has said he strongly supports the government's position. He's in fact praised Penny Wong, Richard Marles, Anthony Albanese for their language. He says they've adopted the same language that he used in government. In truth, they haven't gone as far as some of the things he used to say, that, you know, we need to prepare for war and it's inconceivable that we wouldn't join a fight to defend Taiwan. But now we do have bipartisanship. I do think that's important. Yes, we need to debate these things, but really, in trying to walk a fine line encouraging de-escalation and peace, it clearly helps if both sides are sticking to a similar script.
Sam, are we seeing a significant change of tone from Peter Dutton, and is it because things are getting real?
I don't know if it's that significant. I mean, I think that he was acknowledging that, you know, he misspoke a little bit earlier in the week. I think that he's made it really clear that we need to speak clearly about the risk of China, and, you know, I don't think he's walking back from that at all. I should say that it's interesting that this debate has emerged this morning from the Liberal Senator Jim Molan, this idea that the Chinese ambassador shouldn't have been invited to the press club. And look, I do see those arguments. I mean, the press club has obviously had a debate, for example, about inviting the Russian ambassador, right? But I don't really agree with Senator Molan in this instance. You know, it's been decades, really, since a Chinese ambassador of that stature, I think they've had deputies, has come to give a talk of that nature. And I think it was quite useful. And I'm not sure if it is the right idea that we should somehow completely cut off communication. I think there was value in the Australian public hearing directly from the ambassador and hearing directly from China, you know, that they are so intransigent on the issue of Taiwan, and him being challenged in that way by the journalists who are asking very good questions, I think was quite useful.
Mm. David, just final comment from you before we hit the news. While the education ministers are meeting, the nation's energy ministers will also come together in Canberra. Chris Bowen and his state counterparts will work on a national plan that would speed up the rollout of renewables and gas-proof Australia and minimise electricity market shocks. Is this a significant meeting today?
Look, I think so. Lots of meetings today. This one is going to be particularly interesting because they're expected to sign off on a new national plan for the electricity market. And for the first time, it will prioritise cutting emissions as part of the objectives of the electricity market. Now, that's probably a bigger deal than it might sound. It means lowering emissions will, for the first time, be an objective in the decisions made on investments and management of the market, along with other things like price and quality and safety, reliability and so on. All sorts of other changes that are going to be discussed today. It's meant to be a very lengthy meeting, we're told. But that one, I think, will be significant. I'll be talking to Chris Bowen on Sunday morning on Insiders.
Yes, good timing after that meeting.
It's good to hear.
There you go.
That's
very good.
I look forward to it.
We'll be watching. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thanks, PK.
Samantha Maiden, National Political Editor for news.com.au, and David Spears, the host of Insiders.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.